My name is Victor Kubik. Welcome to another edition of Inside United. We're here on scene in Manila in the Philippines for a ministerial conference. And today we talked about the subject of how women could support their husbands, but also the discussion morphed into how they would like to communicate better with their husbands and how to have their husbands' input and feedback on the work that they do, and many other subjects. So I'd like to introduce you first to the individuals that we have here. First of all, to the wife of the senior pastor, David Dobson. Her name is Denise Dobson. Hello, Denise.
Hi, Vic. It's nice to be here. Thank you.
And also we have Grace Remo, whose husband is an elder here. Hello, Grace.
Hello. Hi, I'm Grace Remo.
And we have Mad Santos, whose husband is here. She is from, along with Grace, here in Manila.
Hello, good evening to everyone, and welcome to the Inside United podcast.
Okay. I knew that was great. That's wonderful. And now we have one from the Visayas. That's that group of islands in the middle of the Philippines. We have with us Sheila Gilos.
Good evening, Mr. Kubik. Thank you. Thank you.
Now, we were talking about the concept of a team ministry, which means it's a ministry that is not just with a wife in the back seat of the car or a wife at home and the husband working, but we invited the women here specifically for the purpose of hearing all the presentations, talking about actually doing a very, very viable part of caring for the churches. And they gathered together with Denise Dobson, who managed the organization here with the other wives from the United States. Denise, just tell us a little bit about how this went off and how it was organized and what the purpose was.
Well, the purpose was to have a session with the ladies to be able to bond with each other, but also your wife Bev and Debbie McNeely had presented women's topics at previous conferences in the U.S. And so I joined in. They thought maybe I could present some of the cultural differences in the Philippines. And the only way I knew to do that was to bring the Philippine ladies in to get their input. What kind of cultural differences, and does it create problems? And it just kind of morphed into relationships, which Debbie had talked about. And then I presented situations I've run into in the U.S., and I was asking for the Philippine ladies to tell me how they would address a situation, a challenging, like, conflict-type situation with people. And it grew from there. We had the most wonderful input, and one of the questions we were discussing was how to deal with conflict among brethren and how to deal with conflict in marriage.
You talked about conflict in marriage. Grace, what were some of the takeaways that you had today?
Every time, whenever there's a conflict in marriage, so the first thing I do is to let my husband tell whatever he wants to tell and just listen. And then after a while, if everything is cooled down, and then that's the time I talk and resolve whatever we need to resolve, and we have to agree to disagree. We have to talk things, what are my opinions and what is his opinion, so we have to settle things like that.
I like the way you came up with we agree to disagree, because we're not always going to see everything the same way, but we can love and respect and support each other even if we have different viewpoints.
Yes, yes.
Mads, you are quite an outspoken lady from you know, conversations here. What's your take on this?
Personally, for me, I always watch my tone. Because, you know, in communication, it's always 7% the words that you say. It's just 7%, according to a communication data. It's only 7% the words. What matters is your body language, which is 55%, and your tone will be 38%. So I think I watch my tone and my body language more than the content of the words that I want to say.
Well, I agree with you, because I'm on the other end of that conflict sometimes.
That's not easy.
No, it's not easy.
I like what Roy said earlier about how Sheng gave him time to about his ego or his pride. I don't remember word for word, but Sheila gives Roy time to fix his pride or his ego.
Process it and realize maybe I'm mad, but maybe actually I know she's right.
I know myself. I mean, I'm the interviewer, but I'm also the other side of this, and I'm very well aware of this. I know one thing is that a person sometimes is afraid to start talking because they're afraid what they will come up with or what they will come up against in the conversation.
I'm the type of person that I will just keep quiet at first. And Roy and I have opposite personality. Roy was the extrovert type, and I'm the introvert type. So I'm just the one who will just keep quiet and let it pass. But Roy said that honesty is very important, and that's why we make sure that we will not let the sun rise.
Sunset.
I'm constantly learning as well. I'm not good really at resolving conflict because I keep it to myself. So, but now I learn a lot from this conference, and I learn, and we need to be honest with how we feel. We constantly grow in grace and knowledge, and hopefully we can apply it as well.
I think that the more you do it, the more expectations and trust you have, you will come to conclusions. Anything more, Grace?
Because I remember in the Bible about Abigail and Nabal. So how Abigail conduct herself when Nabal is not doing the right thing. So she waited for the right time to tell Nabal about the situation. And I think women should do the same. They should not just keep on talking and talking while the situation is still high. So you have to wait for the right time and to tell your husband what is the conflict.
One thing that really I'm struck by being here in the Philippines, you know, I was amazed as to how similar we are and how similar the reactions are and how similar all these things were. So I felt like there was no difference at all whatsoever between us from the United States and the people here in Asia.
Yes, I don't see any difference at all. Yes.
No, we really, really have just enjoyed talking to these ladies. But now let's turn our attention to really why you're here at this conference, was to be a part of your husband's ministry. And some of you have been in the ministry a shorter period of time. Sheila, how long have you been in the ministry?
3 years.
Okay, 3 years. And Grace, how long?
Since 2008, I think.
What are your expectations? What do you do, Grace?
So my support is to be with him wherever he is assigned. And of course, I have to pray for him, especially when he is given assignments on sermons. I have to pray for him for wisdom, and the Holy Spirit will inspire him and to help him in his messages and give suggestions in whatever topics that he asked me, what are the problems, what situations you can see in the church and the brethren. So once I feel something or I have this talk to other brethren and they tell us their problems, so I have to communicate that to my husband.
Mm-hmm. Sheila, what do you do? What do you consider to be your role in your husband's ministry?
Yeah, just like what Mom Grace is doing, I'm also doing the same. And apart from that, I have all the things that I do as to support him, even the menial things and behind the scenes, the little things like preparing all his stuff and giving him time to make sermons and stuff, and also taking care of tracking the receipts and the expenses on his journey and his Sabbath assignments and encoding it, and also taking care of the brethren's need, hearing them and just being there.
Do you find yourself involved with people's lives? You know, do people come and talk to you as his wife with perhaps asking for advice and perhaps asking for prayers and that type of thing?
And some people come up to me and I listen to them, and I refer it to Roy. I whatever If someone talks to me about their problem, I also tell it to my husband. And I learned that confidentiality is very important in the ministry. In the United Church, I feel that our connection among the brethren is like a family. Mm-hmm. That's why it's easy for us to interact and talk to them. And we can easily mingle with people, and people are very open to us as well. And one thing I learned also is if your heart is really to serve, I mean, you don't have to pretend. People will just give their trust to you. And yeah, your integrity will speak because people will trust you.
I must say that I've seen this too, how they've supported their husbands, and they're really arm holders of their respective husbands.
Now, Matt's husband, he is not a minister, but he does so many things just short of it, you know, as far as caring for people, and he's just always enthusiastic. You know, whenever I see him, I just consider him to be really, really a leader. And you help him a lot?
I think the best thing that I give him is to let him be whenever he prepares for sermonettes. Yeah.
Let him be, what do you mean?
Let him have his time alone and have his own time to prepare for messages.
Okay. Now, I know that in preparing messages, is some people like a lot of collaboration and some don't. You know, we had a lot of discussion about the wife being a very big part of the message. Frankly, I know that in my particular case, I like to go through it from beginning to end, because if you have too many cooks working on it, then, you know, you have a different viewpoint, and then that's not what you were thinking. And then if you prepare something that the other one expects and it's not what they expect, it could be good, but it's not what they had thought it would be. So I know it's different for different men, and I do appreciate certain things from my wife, but like I was kind of interested in your comment about let him be.
Well, to expound on that more, is that in terms of picking some topics and all, I let him be on that one, and I don't disturb him. It's more of that when I see him and I know that he's giving a sermon for this coming Sabbath, I don't disturb him at all, especially if he's already in his computer. But I make sure that after he delivers his message, I give him the honest feedback.
Okay. How honest do you get?
As honest as it can be.
Well, what types of things do you look for? What types of things perhaps disturb you more than others? This is very interesting, because I know my wife, you know, she has certain things. Well, you should have said this. You didn't know what the audience was, and so and that type of thing. What types of things affect you by what he says?
Sometimes I tell him that he needs a certain tonality to give emphasis on some things or in some sentences that he delivers. I think it's more of that. That's what I tell him, but not really some major things about what his delivery or what message he delivers, but it's more of that. I think it's more of you have to give more emphasis on this one so it will be given due importance. I think it's more of those things.
Yeah, that type of thing, because words can be right, mm-hmm. but the way that they're emphasized. Grace, tell me about how you help your husband with his messages.
I comment when I see something that needs more emphasis, like say he's quoting a verse and then he did not give the emphasis on that or explore or more. So I have to give, next time you have to do this and you have to explore more and give more examples and you have to expound more about the verse, not just by reading it. It's not effective.
Sometimes it takes several times asking. My wife still tells me, repeat the verse and then give the verse number. And how do you help your husband with you know, types of things that he needs to perhaps correct in his speaking, Sheila?
Yeah, I learned a very great lesson with this, because before when he was started speaking in the pulpit, he told me, he assigned me actually that to keep track of where he went wrong, where he mispronounced. So my goal that time, and my role that time was to take note where he mispronounced, the grammars he used. And then after that, I will tell him that you messed on this one. But I did that for a couple of times, but then there was one incident that I was about to tell him that these are your wrongs, but suddenly all the people, the brethren were coming up to him and appreciating his message, then that's the time I realized this, what I'm doing is useless. What matters most is the message that was sent to the brethren, were very helpful to them, and the grammar will not matter. And from then on, I stopped doing that. That's a great lesson I learned, actually.
Yes, yeah, so sometimes you can overcorrect or, you know, kind of have him lose his confidence, or, you know, because everything gets, you know, picked on. I'm not trying to talk about the way it is here, you know, but I'm saying is that a man, I like correction, you know, I like to know what I can do better, especially in writing. You know, I do a lot of writing, and I appreciate when I'm told, you know, get to the point, or, you know, that type of thing. But also, it's good to have some good words because they make you perform better.
Yes. I think what I've learned from Mrs. Kubik yesterday was that about the time, being intentional in scheduling, in being intentional in terms of doing the schedule around his time. So I think that was that's a good takeaway that I had yesterday during our women's session.
Let's turn a little bit now to the role of a woman as far as her being of equal worth to man. You know, the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, men and women are heirs together of eternal life. And that suggests that the woman has a very high role as far as, you know, God is concerned. She is not, like in some societies, a second-class citizen. And women have lost rights. And, you know, I feel like in the world, women are trying to gain their rights. But they already have their rights with God. You know, with God, women already are very valuable. How do you feel about your role as a woman, Grace, first, you know, here in working with your husband? Tell me what you feel about your role as a woman.
So my role, we are a co-equal heir to the kingdom of God. We are co-allies with our husband. Being a support, giving my support to my husband is to be with him wherever he goes. And as a wife, so we are the heart of the church. So you must show yourself that you are the daughter of God and an example and the light of the church. And I have to pray for him, pray for wisdom. And we work together. So in the house, in the church, in the house, we work together, do the laundry, do the cooking, cleaning. So, and also in the church. So we discuss things, what are the messages that he has to give, and doing counseling and talking to the brethren.
Yeah, I think being submissive is one thing that I always remind myself, to be submissive with my husband and support him all the time on whatever he does for the work of God. I'm very supportive with that. Even if he goes to travel far and away from family, I understand that. And all the things that he does for the church, because my husband is a very service-oriented person, and people keep asking me, how do you feel about that? But I said, there's no problem with me.
Actually, with the comments that he made, I was just so taken aback by his comments. I mean, I was just very pleased by how he supported you and how open he was to communicating with you and how the two of you work things out so well. I was so pleased. I know Roy, he's such a jolly person, you know, all the time. But one thing that I've noticed here at this conference is that the men and women really do get along and really show a mutual respect. I really feel, you know, overall, that is no less than any place that I've been to. It's been very wonderful to see this.
And because we are co-equal heirs, so the husband must also give honor to the wife, even in the presence of other people. And the same thing, we give honor and respect to our husband because we are co-equal heirs. Mm-hmm.
No, it says in the same passage in Ephesians 5, where wives submit to your husbands, it starts off with be submissive one to another,
yes.
You know, to yield to one another and to please one another as well. I mean, all those things work, you know, back and forth. It's just that a little bit more emphasis is placed on the other. It isn't exclusion of all one way and all another way, but we love and respect one another.
Yes, yeah. I realize now that it's the same, that we submit to one another because we're the same, and respect and love one another.
And Sheila?
Yeah, I learned that also, that there is no job description when it comes to minister's wife. There is no clear like guidelines on the do's and don'ts. So basically we go back to the Bible, and we found yesterday that it is the, if you live by the Proverbs 31, then it's, you're in a good track.
Actually, I think that you had a job description today. I read the job description for a pastor. And actually, that is your job description. I mean, you do everything except give sermons.
Yeah.
You know, as far as a woman's role in a team ministry, mm-hmm. she does everything her husband does. In fact, she oftentimes is the one who is responsible for the infrastructure of the church, the organization of the church. You know, my wife has done so much organizing activities, organizing even the speakers, you know, for Family Christian Club and so forth. I couldn't have done it without her. I'd never be here in the Philippines without it wasn't for my wife.
Team effort.
It really has been a team effort. Well, it's certainly been very, very good talking to you. Any final comments that you'd like to make for the world to hear?
Well, thank you everyone for this opportunity that we are given a chance to gather and convene here with all the ministers, the elders and the wives and the potential leaders in the church. We thank you so much, and also the church has been very supportive in the work here in the Philippines. We thank you for that.
Yes, I think my husband and I will be forever grateful for this wonderful opportunity to be at this conference. And also coming from my experience yesterday with the women's session, I think the women in the church needs more opportunity and venue for us to connect more, learn more with each other, and share our experiences with one another. And we are so looking forward for venues and opportunities like that in the future again.
Thank you, Mads Santos and Grace.
We are so very grateful for this pastoral development program. It's the best ever, and it's better than the General Conference of Elders, because here we learned a lot, and it's very productive, and we benefit a lot from this. And all the leaders here in the Philippines get together, and we come to have a closer bonding with each other. And we're so very, very grateful for this activity. Thank you.
Well, we have really enjoyed it, because as each day goes by, now it's the fourth day we're going into. We're just like an old big family. It's a big family reunion. I mean, everybody just comes in very, very loose and just talking to each other, and feels very, very friendly. Well, I'd like to have a few comments more from Denise. She has been so instrumental in coming with her husband, being a big support to him, coming all the way from Alaska. That's their home. And they come here 3 to 4 times a year. And that's a long trip, but they have very diligently done that and done a phenomenal job and really overseeing this church. Denise, I'd like to have a word from you.
All right, thank you. I cannot express properly the honor and the privilege it is to be able to come to the Philippines and get to know our brethren here. From the first time David and I were blessed to come, you asked David if he would like to come to the Philippines for the feast, when we just said, wherever you need somebody. And I don't know if he told you then, but he told me later, he had prayed about, asked God if it would be possible for him to visit the Philippines. He did that when he was about 15 years old, and all the rest of his life he'd hoped someday to visit the Philippines. And we came, and we fell in love with the Philippine brethren here totally. They stole our hearts. They have such warm, generous, kind, and gentle spirits. And we weren't ready to leave when the feast was over. We prayed about it and just asked God if it would be His will, could we please go back? Because we just didn't feel like we were through. And God heard our prayers, and it's a blessing to us. Every time we come, we learn more from our brethren here, and we're inspired.
And it's just been very wonderful talking to you. So thank you for joining us on Inside United. We hope that you tell your friends about Inside United. Come to the main UCG.org page and click on the podcast button. Find us through your favorite podcast app on Apple or Android, and write to us at podcast@ucg.org, podcast@ucg.org, and tell us your impressions of what you have heard. So thank you for joining us. We hope to see you again soon.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.